Hey, good evening. It's time for another Illegal Shift. Not much is moving in the sports world, so you're just going to have to hang out with me and Keith, which is probably not at all what you wanted, but we'll make it work. It's Illegal Shift.
The growing calls across the nation to defund the police.
Giving them business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
Illegal Shift. On the kicking team, that penalty is refused. First down.
What's up, giddy up, Wolfpack? It's Failure to Stop, the best podcast on earth. It's Illegal Shift. It's the one that talks about sports. I'm John. I'm a 911 dispatcher. Happy 911 Telecommunicators Week to me. Joining me, as always, is Jason Kiefer. He's a firefighter somewhere out there in some city that is not to be confused with the city of Cincinnati. Kiefer, how the heck are you doing this week, man?
I'm good. I wanted to wish you happy Telecommunicators Week. You beat me to it. You're here for us, but we're here for you. Just know that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So far, it is Thursday, and it has been slim pickings in appreciation this year. And I don't know if that's just because it's like the reality is that it's my job and I choose to do my job for my compensation every day. But no one appreciates me. And maybe that's okay. Maybe we shouldn't have an appreciation society. You know, like if everyone just like, well, just do your damn job, you know, and if you don't like it, just go do something else.
Right.
There does seem, you know, to
be a week for everything.
But I did like train for this, like, and you know, you wouldn't say that to a fireman, right? Like I don't feel like the cops and the firefighters would get that treatment. And and not to like get on the soapbox, but it's like, if you guys even like, if it's even implied that maybe I put as much into my job as you guys into yours, you guys seem to like get mad about that. Is that true? Or
I don't feel that that's true. I mean, it's a very integral link in the chain. So
yeah, I was gonna say, like, if you just don't want us here, like, you could just answer your own damn phone, you
know? Like, and I would much rather not do that.
If you literally just want to be sitting at your fire station and have a phone with, like, and every single time it rings because no one's deciding it's for you, you know, the red light goes off, the alarm goes off, and you go answer it, you go, fireman, you know, because what else would you say? And then they're just like, there's a burglar in my house. You're like, well, shit, I'm going to try to like put you on hold, see if a cop answers, you know?
Let me try to transfer you. And
I'm going to try to transfer you to a police car. And then some policeman's like driving along. And then all of a sudden the big, you know, blue phone in his police car starts ringing. But he's trying to reach for it.
and then he's got to,
he crashes.
Write himself a ticket.
He has to write himself a ticket. That's funny you mentioned that because it actually happened last night. Last night was rough. You texted me last night and you go, are you busy? And like, I'm having to like call in police officers from other counties to do something. And I'm like, I don't even have time to explain to him how preposterously busy I am right now. So I think I just texted you back, kind of.
And I know what that means. And I didn't want to say anything to jinx it anymore. So I just left it alone.
I haven't had a chance to follow up with you. Was there something you needed or
no, I was just checking in on you.
Just checking in on old John. Well, that was very kind of you. How were you doing? How was your shift last night?
I was off yesterday. I got off yesterday morning, but the day before, it was just absolute bedlam. And we're not a super busy department, but for us to get, you know, 7-8 runs, that's, you know, moderately busy. Well, we ended up making 13 runs and in that 24 hours, which is unusual for us. And my former department that I worked at, that's every day. So for my captain and myself, who are, you know, pretty tenured, we've been in a while, and he worked for a department like my old one, we were kind of laughing about it because all the young kids are like, oh my God, we're so busy. Oh my God, it's so busy. And we're kind of looking at each other like, this is life as we know it. So yeah, it wasn't bad. I got a new pair of glasses, picked them up the other day.
You look so handsome. I hope you're wearing them right now. Otherwise, I would have just admitted you were handsome for no reason.
I'm definitely wearing them, so you're good.
Yes, yes.
But I have graduated and moved to the world of what they call progressive lenses now.
Oh, man.
I.e. bifocals, which is a little disheartening. But
I'm sorry there, Centrum Silver. You're still relevant.
Right. So I'm trying to get used to him. So if you see me just like randomly like grabbing, it's a little bit different. So
I always just assume that was because of your lifestyle. He takes a drink of beer right now.
Yeah, maybe it is. I don't like your different job.
What is it like to work for just 24 hours straight? Because like by our, I would think by our, actually I've put in, our department specifically prohibits working longer than 12 hours because if we fuck something up, a defense attorney doesn't want to be like, well, how many hours were you working by the time you were handling this call? But I think I've put in 16 before and I was pretty tired by then.
Well, and the difference is, I mean, in your line of work, I'm sure you get, you know, breaks, you know, here and there potentially, but I mean, you're constantly on it from the time you log on to the time you log off. I'm sure that phone doesn't stop ringing for some reason or another. It may not be a complete emergency, maybe complete bullshit.
Well, phone or radio, something. There's either a police officer or a citizen doing something all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're constantly engaged. Us, I mean, we kind of have a daily routine, if you want to call it that, whenever it fits, you know, whenever the runs don't come in, because, you know, we're not making runs, you know, every 15 minutes. So then we get downtime, you know, in the evening, just like any other, you know, 9 to 5 type place. Yeah. You know, after 5 o'clock, you know, we're cooking dinner and then, you know, you're winding down, getting, you know, all your paperwork, your reports done. And then you wait for the bell. And then, you know, I usually go to bed around 11 and hope to sleep all night, but that usually doesn't happen.
When's National Firefighters Appreciation Week?
I have no idea. I have no clue.
Is it possible that your job's so glamorous and everyone loves you so much that it never even occurred to anyone? They're like, we need a week of appreciation.
I think that's very, very plausible.
You've got the cool trucks, the livery, the Dalmatians. You just seem to have it all from my viewpoint, man.
I feel like I took the right test. Our pension, at least here, our pension's the same as the police. So, you know, that's that big police fire rivalry. I'm like, well, look, dude, I get to retire at the same amount of time and not deal with half the bullshit that you have to deal with. So,
yeah.
But I mean, we have to play that game. Yeah. You know, it's like fighting brothers, but yeah, I love all our cops. So yeah, they have a very hard job, very difficult, and they deal with shit that I definitely don't want to. I don't have the patience for.
I saw paperwork for my retirement system and it says I can retire on April 5th, 2063, and I don't want to wait, so I'm just gonna start smoking.
Oh, make sure they're unfiltered. Be a man. If you're gonna do it, be a Pall Mall unfiltered.
Yeah, so have a good life. I'll be in the comm center. I don't know what to say. Is this why I get a week? You know,
that could potentially be.
This could be why I get a week.
I'll make sure I call in on November 10th, 2028.
That's when you retire, yeah.
So I'll make sure I give you a little ring.
Can't we just do a podcast during your retirement?
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Just live stream it?
I mean, hopefully you're still friends with me, so.
Yeah, why wouldn't it be? You know what would be great is if they bring in all the people that you've saved over the years who could be there to honor you? All those disfigured burn victims? That'd be nice and depressing, right?
That would be great. That's a hell of a way to go out.
Someone would be like, I don't have lips because of that fire, but I'm alive because of you. And like, I have scar tissue all over. And they've like got two hooks for hands. And come give me a hug. And you're like, Jesus, I thought you were dead. The last time I saw you, I literally zipped you in a body bag. Like, I didn't know.
How'd you make it out?
I thought you were dead, man. I'm sorry. That would be great.
That would be. We can start brainstorming on that now.
Well, just start pulling your run cards. You know, every time it was a close one, and we'll reach out and see if they're feeling thankful that you saved them from the sweet release of death and helped them.
Sweet release.
You know, you help them go on. You know, in this sham of life and this never-ending parade of torture and pain and fire, you know, surviving these incidents only be potentially burned again because, you know, fires continue to happen. You're not, you go through a fire, you know, statistically you're good, you know, because like, so the odds that someone's going to be in two dangerous fires is very low, but you're not, it's not totally over. You can't, you know, not feel anxious about that. In fact, once you've been through one fire and you know what it's like to burn, you know, aren't you more scared? You know, I don't know. I just wonder, are you helping anyone?
I try to.
Let's do the ad reads because holy fuck. Full disclosure, folks, it may not be 5:45. It may be a whole other hour of the day that I've never even podcasted at before, and there may be a reason for that. The show's brought to you by Ghostbed. Ghostbed's a mattress company on the internet. Go to ghostbed.com, use the offer code Wolfpack at checkout. That Wolfpack offer code is just for our audience. First responders, firemen, dispatchers, police officers, tow truck drivers, nurses. Who else is a first responder?
Corrections.
Corrections. Thank you. Oh, man, I'm going to pay for that one later.
Yes, you will.
But anyway, even if you're just someone who's unemployed, or even if you're a criminal, even if you're a filthy arsonist, you can use the offer code Wolfpack and you can save up to 40% on everything that you find at Ghostbed. Ghostbed has built-in ghost technology. It's all sustainably sourced from the pantheon of human beings who have already expired and crossed over onto the other side. That's right. There's no reason for a ghost bed to go out there and make what you might call fresh kills in order to generate these ghost beds. There's so many out there already. Just grab a Ouija board. There's so many people to talk to on the other side. And anyway, that etheric energy is the source of all ghost bed technology. We, of course, love them because the ghost beds are manufactured not only on this plane of existence, Keith, but in this country, in the United States. That's right. And they support veterans. Not just of the United States military, but of Iraq and other countries as well. So our thanks to Ghostbed for supporting this podcast and making it go. And I hear again, I've outdone myself. You know, my Ghostbed ad read on Tuesday night was horrifying. And this one's like my weird attached aloof demeanor makes this one even more strange. Keith, I made you a promise like 2 weeks ago to stop being so strange.
Well, you made it 2 weeks. Good work.
Yeah, I made it 2 weeks.
You got to start somewhere.
Anyway, go to Ghostbed. Use the offer code Wolfpack. That way, Ghostbed knows that you should continue to give money to failure to stop. That keeps me around. And it's more important now than ever. Because if Ghostbed sees this and they don't like me and they email Eric saying, hey, you got to get rid of that depressing guy in the gray hoodie who's like clearly needs to go get checked in somewhere.
You need some counseling of some sort.
Just need some counseling. You'll be gone forever. So if you want to save me, and if you want to save failure to stop, please go buy a pillow. At least go to the website, put something in your cart, and use the offer code Wolfpack, and then just don't check out. Just like constantly tease them that you could check out at any time, because then it would show them that it's still effective even if they haven't really made a sale. So please go over and do that. In all seriousness, it's a great company. Please go buy from Ghostbed. Factor Meals, same thing. If you're getting off shift after your 24 hours of being at work, or you're 16 or 12 or whatever, and you go home, or you're leaving work, you just don't feel like going to the grocery store. It's going to be packed to the brim with people. You're going to have to grab the cart or the basket or whatever and try to navigate down those aisles. So you just want to get some peanut butter, some mayonnaise. And some lady is just standing there with a box of Velveeta contemplating what it means to even be cheese that doesn't need to be refrigerated, right? And you can't get around her, and she's in the way, and you go back up to the front, and it's like the easiest way to get the hell out of here is with the self-checkouts. It's got to fall down on me one more time to save society from itself. No one can serve me. I've got to do it myself. It's just too much, man. Have the food waiting for you at home. When you get off shift, you're 10-7. Go 10-42. Go straight home to a nice meal. Factor Meals can have that delivered to your house and have it there waiting for you. It's not frozen food. It's delicious, refrigerated food, which means it's safe to eat. Throw it in the microwave for 2 minutes, and you're going to have a hot meal. And it's going to make you feel safe and cozy and warm and well-fed at home. and you're going to feel safe and warm and sane for the first 5 minutes since you got off shift. So I encourage you to go over there. They have over 300 options: beef, chicken, salmon, corn, ham, beans. Keith, what's your favorite food?
I love red meat.
Keith loves red meat, which means for him, discount hot dogs. And you can get that at Factor Meals. Go over there, sign up, use the offer code WOLFPACK50. That'll save you 50% off in your first week. It's going to change the way that you live your life. It's going to make your life a lot easier. You're going to get yourself out of that hectic atmosphere of being at the grocery store. Save yourself some time, some energy.
And the fact that they're very good.
They're delicious. Invest in yourself and you'll thank yourself. Also, of course, the wellness company, all of our ads are here. Basically, all of our supporters are here about improving your life, and the wellness company is no different. You can own your health, your wellness, and your freedom with the wellness company. You can get well and stay well with solutions designed by top doctors. They offer natural supplements, melatonin to help you sleep, stuff for your immune support, your daily essentials for your mind and your energy, your digestion, your metabolism. All the stuff your body's already doing, it could do better with everything that you can find at the wellness company. If you need antibiotics or other prescriptions, you can get them there. Medical kits, first aid kits. Go ahead and get a membership and just completely divorce yourself from the control of Big Pharma. You're a conservative. I'm a conservative. We hate Big Pharma. We hate the huge corporations and the government just backing up dump trucks of money to them for manufactured emergencies. That made us angry. Yes, we understand why Big Pharma needs to exist and how many people have been helped by Big Pharma. They ain't helping everybody. Sometimes they're just helping themselves. So go to the wellness company, use the offer code wellness. You can get 10% off. Just something to think about. We appreciate the wellness company for supporting us here at Failure Step. And lastly, Keith, the We Defy Foundation. Become a sponsor of that. That's that program that Eric is working with. All super chats that you leave on this show and every Failure to Stop show, if you leave We Defy in the comment on your super chat, that money will be earmarked. It's going to go to the We Defy Foundation. Eric's raising money. There's some sort of complicated formula that for every $20 he'll roll with you for like 1 minute or something. And I don't know how that works, because that's like some sort of fraction or ratio or something. Here's the thing. You send the money to us on Super Chats. We're going to pay all of that money that you send over to the We Defy Foundation. Now, how do Super Chats work? YouTube takes a portion of that. But we're not here to pay YouTube. YouTube certainly makes it easy for us to process your payment. Whatever you send to us, we're essentially matching, because we're going to send, instead of just saying, well, YouTube takes, you know, X percent of that, and so we're going to reduce it by X percent. No, we're sending all that money over, and that portion that would normally go to YouTube, Failure Stops paying for. So We Defy provides combat veterans, just of the United States.
Yeah, be clear.
Coping with military-connected disabilities, a long-term means for overcoming that their challenges through Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which, you know, so many hosts of Failure to Stop are into BJJ. I'm not one of them, because if I'm going to fight a man, I'm using a knife or a gun.
Correct. Correct.
If Keith's going to do it, he's going to take some Centrum Silver, possibly an antacid, and something for his joints. And he's going to limber up, take a hot bath. Have some baby aspirin so that later when he does his laundry, his own blood will wash out slightly easier.
And I will use my cane.
And he's just going to jump into it. But if you're also interested in bypassing Failure to Stop altogether, you can go over to www.wedefyfoundation.org. Check them out. It's a great opportunity. It gives Eric something to think about other than fatherhood and podcasting. Helps him lose weight and redefine focus for his life. So we appreciate them. That's all the ad reads.
I'm hoping he's going to video that.
I don't think he will. Who would do that for him? Maybe one of his children. Maybe Elkin's old enough. I don't know.
When he has that roll-a-thon, I want to see him get choked out like 70 times. I think that would be awesome. That's good content right there.
You just want to see him suffer, which...
It's good content. It's for the podcast, John. Come on, don't be selfish.
Well... If I may, you said you want to see him suffer, and I was going to say, that seems cruel, Keith, but upon contemplating it, like, I'm all in, you know, whatever. I'm just in it for the suffering. I don't even care if money necessarily goes to these combat veterans. great if it does, but I also just want to see Eric just rolling around on the floor.
I think it's a good idea he came up with, though.
Yeah, thank you. He came up with the idea, but let's jump briefly into some sports news. There's not a whole lot going on this week. How do you live in the shadow of OJ Simpson dying? Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about Patrick Mahomes. He's sort of the face of the NFL now that Tom Brady's gone, although I heard Tom Brady say that he would come out of retirement for a contender team, so there's always a chance that we'll see him again somehow.
I'm sure we'll segue somehow into that, because I saw that article as well, and I've got my...
He'll be back in the annals of this show. But Patrick Mahomes told The Hill, he says that he's staying out of the presidential race. I don't want to pressure anyone. It sure is easy to stay out of the presidential race when these are your candidates, right? You have Biden, who's one of the biggest failures in presidential history. Like right now, the moldering bones of Millard Fillmore, our 13th president, they're like, he's jittering away down there, because honestly, Biden is such a terrible president. And then there's like, you know, who else would you say is a terrible? Probably like Franklin Pierce, because like the whole nullification thing and the country's crumbling apart and headed towards civil war. And the only thing he could think about is his dead son. You know, he's not a great leader. You know, I feel for Franklin Pierce, but it's like, come on, man, the country's falling apart. And then like James Buchanan has like all the frailties of Franklin Pierce, but none of the excuses, because his son was fine. And he just like threw parties and stuff. And, you know, like, I don't know if you're a James Buchanan fan. Are you a Bucky fan?
I can't say that I am, to be honest with
okay,
you.
Okay, yeah. You know, terrible president right there. Woodrow Wilson, straight up racist, straight up, you know, terrible guy, hateful. Showed the first movie in the White House, and it was like some KKK film, and he just sat there eating a big bucket of popcorn. Anyway, Biden is just as bad as any of these presidents. He's terrible.
That's fact.
And then his contender is Donald Trump, who I mostly defend, because once they destroy Donald Trump, they'll destroy me next. So he's sort of throwing a block for me right now, if I might use a sports analogy. But the Kansas City Chiefs star quarterback is smart, because he realizes that people are pretty passionate about it one way or the other, meaning mostly that they hate Trump or love Trump. And I think he realizes that people of all different political quarter really love the Kansas City Chiefs right now, and they love him. And if he throws in there with either one side or another, that he's going to alienate a whole bunch of people, and he's going to further bring politics in the NFL. But this guy's a young guy, and he's making a smart decision. This is what he told The Hill, or this is The Hill article, if I may read briefly, Keith, with your permission.
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
I'm sorry I'm a little stuffy this morning as well.
I know. My allergies are killing me right now.
Yeah. Kansas City Chiefs star quarterback Patrick Mahomes is declining to weigh in on this year's presidential race, urging voters in a new interview to do their own research before the election. Well, honestly, that is what we should all do, right? He says, I don't want to pressure anyone to vote for a certain president, Mahomes said in an interview with Time Magazine published Tuesday. I want people to use their voice, whoever they believe in. I want research. That's like a really smart thing to say. You never hear anyone saying that anymore. Just like, hey, you know what you should do? Think for yourself, figure things out, and like vote like according to your beliefs and your views. Time Magazine said he was one of the most influential people this year, the top 100. So it's kind of good that he's telling people to think for themselves. He led his team to a Super Bowl victory against the 49ers, which we also remember. He also earned the MVP award for the third time. They were also thrust in the national spotlight with the whole Taylor Swift thing and her boyfriend, Travis Kelce. Conservative media, meaning I don't know who they think by that. I'm very circumspect about what I'm about to read. Conservative media spiraled into an unproven conspiracy theories. I didn't take any of those things seriously. Leading up to the Super Bowl, that the NFL had rigged the playoffs to deliver a win to Kelce's team so that Swift could endorse President Biden after the game. It's not clear whether Swift, who endorsed Biden in 2020, will endorse anyone this year. Mahomes joined LeBron James More Than a Vote campaign to help increase African-American voter turnout in the 2020 election. You know, that's not a good sign. Here's the thing about whenever you have campaigns to increase voter turnout, they're always very biased.
Yeah.
And so I wonder, you know, without having any proof, I don't want to say anything about Patrick Mahomes, but I just wonder how unbiased he's been. He told Time that he's still considering his plans for the upcoming election. I don't know how you can be at this point in American history, now that we've had Trump as president, now that we've had Biden as president, looking back all the way to 2016 and ask yourselves, when was your life better? When was your life okay? And then still scratching your scalp, thinking about it, you know, what would possibly be best for the country? Peace and prosperity, or like war and depravity? Honestly, it comes down to that. Look at everything that's going on. You know, we just had a last call yesterday. The whole world's going to war and all this. And when Trump was in office, we had like, we were meeting with like North Korea, and we had like the Abraham Accords over the Middle East. Everything was settling down and people's, you know, retirement was doing well. Of course, Patrick Mahomes, you know, being paid millions of dollars to do a sport just shows you maybe he's not as plugged into the common person as you and me are.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're dead. You're dead nuts right there, because they don't live like you and I. They live in a whole different bubble than the normal person that's listening to any of the Failure to Stop podcasts. We're normal people. And it drives me nuts when, and I know it's a sports show, but you have these sports figures who are influencers in their own right, you know, endorsing. I'm glad that he's saying he's not endorsing anybody. Just like The Rock. When The Rock said he wasn't endorsing, he endorsed Biden the last time, but he's not doing it this, you know, this go round. I'm fully behind encouraging people to get out and vote. I'm all for that, and I'm okay with that. But I don't think any of these sports figures, entertainment figures, need to be endorsing anybody.
Yeah.
Because they're using their influence a lot of times for bad.
Yeah. Do you mind if I take a radical take?
Take it. I like radical.
Don't vote.
Ooh, that's way radical.
I don't think that there should be a get out the vote campaign. Do you know why? Hear me out. If you know enough about your own country to feel motivated to vote, that means that you've already reached some conclusions about the way life and government should be on your own. If you have to be persuaded by LeBron James, if you have to have some kind of campaign on MTV telling you to go out and vote, and you're voting because of a campaign rather than your beliefs in how government should be and how free people should be, how big government should be, then you don't know what the hell you're doing, and you're affecting the rest of the country for those people who do know and who do care. Generally, any kind of get out the vote campaign is going to activate people who don't give a shit, who are uninformed. And Jason, we know who those people are going to vote for. They're going to vote for the left. Those are the people you do the man on the street interviews, and you say, hey, like, what would you say about ending women's suffrage? And you're like, hell yeah, down with the patriarchy. And you're just like, just so you know, women's suffrage is the right to vote that was given to women by men. Just something to think about, you know. And it's that level of general ignorance amongst people that are going to be activated by a campaign. So I know that I can't really do anything with this, but I will tell you that if you're someone that needs to be told to go vote, don't vote.
Well,
don't do it.
And John, I agree somewhat with that. And let me caveat my statement with the fact that, yes, if you are going to go vote, you need to be educated. And that, to me, to myself, and I guess I spoke and left that piece out. To me, that's normal to be educated when you're hitting the ballot box.
Yeah.
Now, I know a lot of people are not. So no. I do see exactly where you're coming from with that. But
I'm just saying LeBron James isn't saying like, hey, maybe you want to go out and read some economics books, or like read some history or some politics and figure out, you know, where does your ideology really stand? You know, is your ideology defined by the Los Angeles Lakers or the Miami Heat or the Rock? You know, are these people the ones who are leading your political thought? Because maybe it should be Adam Smith or Ayn Rand or Karl Marx, which, you know, I'm not throwing my weight behind Marx, but at least those people are actual thinkers about politics and history And if maybe if those aren't the people that you're reading, maybe you're not up to snuff, and maybe you shouldn't be having your opinion weigh every bit as much as mine does when I have considered it.
Right.
Mahomes says, in the spirit of that, there's going to be no endorsement. Not that I'm afraid of it at all, but I just realized that this level of influence, I'm going to keep my politics to myself. I think it's between me and the ballot box. So that's what The Rock said. I thought that was Mahomes, but that's what The Rock said. So good for him that he's going to keep that between him and the ballot box. Good for him for keeping his options open and just not looking, like a dummy if his candidate loses later. You know, there's always that to avoid. Trouble in Dallas. Could you believe it that for the past like 27 years, we're going to do a 28th year, Keith? This article comes from the Landry Hat, which means it's a pro Dallas article that I'm reading. This is not Sports Illustrated or anything else. These are the people that love the Cowboys, and this is what they have to say. Troubling CeeDee Lamb contract update proves that Jerry Jones has learned nothing. Cowboys fans, right now we are once again at this crossroads. If you were watching on YouTube, you would see that Jerry Jones's ego may qualify as a learning disability. Literally keeps him from learning. This is what it says. And Keith, I'll get your take as someone who's an outsider, and I'll be happy to give mine as always. It's bad enough the Dallas Cowboys can't exercise their playoff demons, but the fact that they embarrass themselves more than any NFL team. Wow.
I did see that.
This Cowboys website, this says they embarrass themselves more than any NFL team during the offseason. It's why they're a laughing stock. The common denominator, of course, is team owner and de facto general manager Jerry Jones. A competent owner would have already signed Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb to contract extensions. However, Jerry and Steven are too hung up on winning a negotiation that they don't see the value in getting an argument done ahead of time. An agreement done ahead of time. They get the argument done on time. It's equivalent to waiting until the assignment is due. By doing that, the Cowboys are backed into a corner and forced to pay the maximum to keep their stars. They're so resigned to Lamb becoming the highest paid receiver in NFL history that they seemingly don't want to reset that market themselves. Yeah, they want someone else to go first. Sitting out the offseason program, likely until he gets a new deal, Cowboys fans shouldn't expect to see Lamb for a long time. On Monday, ESPN insider Adam Schefter, so he doesn't just work for ESPN, gave a bleak update on Lamb's contract situation, and this is what he wrote on Twitter. Cowboys wide receiver CeeDee Lamb isn't expected to attend the start of Dallas's voluntary offseason program Monday while he awaits a new contract to replace the one scheduled to pay him a fully guaranteed $17 million for this upcoming fifth-year option. I don't know about you, but if I had to do something voluntarily, I'm not sure that I would go either, particularly if I'm in the last year of my contract and it wasn't made. It wouldn't necessarily be a tactic, but it's like, what are you going to fire me?
Right.
Like, I'm already like imminently going to be released. And so, you know, you're just, if you want me to stay, you're going to pay me. And if you want me to go, you're just going to do nothing. So if it were me, I'm not a football player and I'm not like this keen mind strategist about huge NFL contracts, but honestly, I just wouldn't go just because like, if we're going to have like a team building event at my job and it's like voluntary, meaning they're not going to pay me, I'm not going to go.
Right. You know?
And it's not because I don't like my coworkers or I don't want to go have this picnic or whatever, but it's just like, you know, I got stuff to do, you know, and maybe he sees it that way. Cowboys and CeeDee Lamb aren't close to an agreement for contract extension. This is from Adam Schefter again. The Dallas Cowboys may not see him until he gets a contract extension. I just read that, for the love of God. They're not close to a long-term deal. Superstars stage contract holdouts every season, Keith. What's a big contract holdout in Cincinnati? Has that ever happened to you guys? Because I don't ever pay attention to Cincinnati. Who's been holding out there in the last couple years?
I mean, we've had a few, you know, throughout the course of the, you know, obviously the program, but like right now, our big deal was T. Higgins. We franchise tagged T. Higgins.
Because you couldn't get a deal done? Or he just wasn't, or you had one to use, so you just thought to use it on him?
They had one to use, so they put it on him. And I think they wanted to wait to figure out, because we're going to have Ja'Marr Chase coming up. And I think they want to see where they're going to, you know, divvy their money out. My question with the CeeDee Lamb, was that going to be a one-year extension? Is that just a one-year?
It's the fifth-year option, whether or not to pick him up for that fifth year or just, you know, let it go.
But there's so many players that sit out in these voluntary workouts anyway.
Yeah. Do you think maybe they're just trying to gin it up as controversy and just use this as an excuse to fire shots at Jerry Jones, who frankly has coming?
I mean, he did. Him and Steven had plenty of time to figure this out and get it done.
This is exactly what happened in 2020 with Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
So you make a good point. It's no secret the Joneses negotiate with an iron fist. Dolphins speedster Tyreek Hill is the highest paid wide receiver with an annual salary of $30 million. Assuming Lamb's baseline is just north of $30 million, it's fair to assume that Dallas didn't want to start the bidding there. Although, Lamb's contract should have been done offseason last year. It takes two to tango, and Lamb knows he would have made more by waiting until this year to sign. Eagle star Devonta Smith just agreed to a three-year, $75 million extension before his fifth-year option kicks in. Who's to say that Lamb wouldn't have agreed to a deal if the Cowboys had offered him $29 million and $74 guaranteed? Those terms would pencil Lamb as the second-highest paid receiver. And by waiting until the deadline, Lamb will likely want to top that out by going $31 to $34 million per year and potentially up to $80 million in guaranteed money. At the end of the day, or as I like to say, at the beginning of the night, the Joneses are further emptying their pockets by sticking to their negotiation tactics. Paying the absolute maximum to keep Lamb will give them an excuse why they aren't aggressive in free agency. It's a never-ending cycle. This article's right. They're so bad at negotiating. We know that they're not going to let someone like Dak Prescott or CeeDee Lamb leave. Just for merchandising reasons, they're not going to do that, let alone for what their performance on the field. CeeDee Lamb just had a franchise record-setting year. He's not leaving. We know Jerry's going to pay him. So it really all comes down to the timing of that. And we end up paying out through the nose for people who are always going to stay anyway. And we can never throw any of that money around to all the other, you know, pieces on the team where we need to get talented free agents. And it's just never going to happen. We're going to put all of our money in three or four baskets, never go anywhere. Keith.
Well, and you said it a couple weeks ago, like how they're divvying players off and you're not sure what's going to happen this season, who they're going to get. You have to have some integral pieces, i.e. your quarterback, i.e. at least one great receiver, a good running back. And
yeah, we need one of those.
Yeah. So like I'm trying to get the psychology behind it with those two idiots, because obviously they're good businessmen, because they wouldn't have had the money that they've had in their life, you know, oil and all that shit. I think they just get off on the negotiation part of it, and
they do
the boardroom, you know, across the table battle. I think that's where their problem is.
They do.
Yeah. I mean, if they'd have done this in the offseason, yeah, they'd be paying less, because most likely it would have been done, you know, deal could have been done before, you know, that next highest guy. And then then you feel like it's a win because, oh, look, we got one over on CeeDee because we're not having to pay him as much as that guy. You know, I don't know. I don't know the mindset behind it, you know, what they're thinking.
I think you nailed it. I think it's that he literally likes being the guy that sits there with the phone with the two Dallas Cowboys helmets, and he likes the power brokering and saying, and he, because he believes that the Cowboys are America's team, and he believes that there is no less shine on that star after 27 years of failing to even get to the NFC Championship. He believes that every single time he calls someone with a deal that, you know, he's ascending from heaven or descending from heaven to do some sort of amazing, spectacular thing in their life. And what he's forgetting is that this market's wide open. There's 32 teams now, not just like 28 the last time we went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, life is moving. Life's moving forward. And
there's all kinds of opportunities for people to play. And people are players, and I can't fault them for this. You know, we just went through 20 years of Patriots prestige. Their players would rather play there. They'd have a chance of winning a Super Bowl
The
49ers and for less, and the Chiefs and the Bills, even though they're kind of coming down from where they were. And he just runs I said this last week, he runs the team like it's 1995, and he also does it for his own self-satisfaction. And if it wasn't about that, he would have fired his GM a long time ago, Keith, because everyone that's coming in and out of that building, quarterbacks, running backs, strength trainers, in the past 27 years, who is it that's been in the same position that entire time? It's the GM, and he won't fire him.
Yeah.
And he should have.
And with that, I mean, have you ever worked, what this reminds me of, have you ever worked for a supervisor that you bring a problem and a solution to? He knows that he's wrong in the action that he's getting ready to take. And you're like, whoa, pump the brakes. I wouldn't go down this route. I would go this route because X, Y, and Z. And they do that. They do their idea anyway. Have you ever worked for somebody like that?
Yeah, I've worked for the government. Yes, absolutely. Yes,
it was a loaded question.
That's
exactly what this is.
That's why they go that way in the government, because in the government, people, you know, and it's probably this way in the private sector too, so I shouldn't speak out of turn, but it's like, you give a very, very small person in terms of character, in terms of self-image, in terms of just their credentials as a person, and you give them some kind of power, and they're usually going to, first of all, government just gives rise to people like that, puts them in places they shouldn't be, but it gives them their own little kingdom, their own little place where they can exert their authority over other people. And they'll consistently make the bad decisions and not listen to anyone. And they'll even say, you know, if we're going to fail, at least it'll be on my terms or whatever. And there's always plenty of blame to deflect to other people. For Jerry Jones, you know, in football, unfortunately, you can say ultimately Dak Prescott didn't complete the passes, or we fumbled this, or the other team played better. It's always easy to just say, well, that's why we play the game. You know, it's not Jerry's fault that, you know, we have 27 years of consistent failure. You know, it's failure to not meet the championship game. It's failure to not meet that when your goal is to win the Super Bowl. You know, you're falling short of many standards. And then just to blame the outcome of games, because even in this amount of time since 95, we should have had one. We should have had two. Look at how many other NFC teams have gone to the Super Bowl. There's been NFC teams who have been to the Super Bowl and one who had never won prior to our last one. We had the Cardinals playing in the Super Bowl. We've had the Bears playing in the Super Bowl. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning a couple Super Bowls. The Saints have won a Super Bowl. In 95, all of these teams had not won Super Bowls, and all of these teams have been able to shake off the worst, you know, history and problems, and they've all been able to reach that level, and Dallas has not in the past 27 years. And so keeping that in mind, Dallas should have had one, and the fact that we don't have one is because of one person, and that's indisputable. And he still won't say, you know what, it's been a pleasure owning the Dallas Cowboys and growing them as a brand, and I love football, and I'm gonna love being a part of this, but I'm gonna find someone else to make these decisions. And you know, ultimately, I'll have some kind of veto power because I'm signing checks. But you know, someone with a different perspective needs to come in here, because I want to win before I die. I wish that was his perspective, and he won't have that.
No, it's I always nickname him Yoda because he looks like Yoda. Yeah, he's got too much pride. That's his problem.
Pride is all our problem, though, Keith. It's the thing that keeps all of us from achieving true greatness. Speaking of pride, or maybe not pride at all, maybe like other problems. This is something that was in the news this week. I wanted to touch on it briefly. Caitlin Clark, she's going to be drafted by the WNBA. She's going to get a salary of less than 100K. She's going to make less than a doctor, which I think is fine. This is I was looking at a article. I believe it was Bleacher Report, about how she's not making any money, and for some reason it referred. Its source on this was a local news agency somewhere out in like Minnesota or something. But
I just saw your graphic, more than John makes. Very clever.
It is more than I make. Yes. And I save people's lives. So before we get all upset that she's not making a lot of money, let's just remember she does something fundamentally unimportant, which is sports, which I like sports. And it's a good diversion from the stuff that we're talking about, like in terms of war and politics and all this. And I believe that sports is important. But, you know, ultimately, I'm doing things to save people's life and property and to enforce the law on this. So, but she's making more money than me, so it's fine, whatever. She's way more talented than I am. You could find a lot of dispatchers who could do what I do. Not a lot of women could play basketball the way she can. So that's why she's making more money. So I understand that. So this is from a local news agency. To get an idea of the impact of college basketball star Caitlin Clark is expected to have in the WNBA, consider this. The Indiana Fever, which is a team I'd never heard of, had one game on national TV last year. The WNBA will broadcast 36 Fever games on national TV this season. So I'm guessing she's kind of a prestige player, and she's going to bring a lot to that Indiana team. Clark is expected to be the first draft choice in the WNBA and headed to the Fever. The Indiana WNBA team has had a 18-58 record last year, which is not good. The two seasons are combined to help determine who gets the first draft pick in 2024. Four teams with the worst record qualify for the lottery pick of the first draft. I will never understand drafts in basketball, by the way. Don't get it. The Fever earned it through stacking up qualifying points that include the worst record. TV exposure is one Clark effect, but she's likely to impact home attendance and the Fever's win-loss record. In short, she'd be considered a franchise player like Tamika Catchings. We all love Tamika Catchings, right, Keith?
Sure do.
Yeah, we all, a franchise player who led them from the playoffs from 2008 to 2016 and a championship in 2012. Boy, that just shows you like their level of stardom is like beneath the threshold of my attention. The Fever drew almost just a little over 4,000 fans to home games. 4,000 fans
in 23 for the year.
Fourth, that is the second worst in the 12 team league. Indiana and the national media reporting a spike in home game ticket sales. I mean, that's great.
Mike, how long does that last? You know what I mean? Like Caitlin Clark's been, you know, the big hot button topic, you know, through the women's NCAA tournament and her, you know, her breaking the scoring record. She comes into the NBA or WNBA. What if she flops? What if she comes in and plays like complete garbage? Where do those numbers go?
I think that'll be very bad for Indiana that apparently is just hanging on by a greased rope in terms of actually being a professional sports team. The overall attendance at NCAA Division I women's games has increased over the course of our lives from 1982 to 2022. But attendance has only dipped in the WNBA from 746 per game in 2020 in the COVID season to 626 in 2023. And I know what you're thinking. That's only a loss of like 120 people. But when you're only talking about 700 to begin with, that's like a 10 to 12% loss. Like that's a huge loss. Attendance for 784 teams in 1982 was about 1.9 million in 2020. There were 1,097 I'm reading these numbers wrong. In 2020, the attendance was 11. I'm reading this completely wrong.
In 2020, there were...
Oh, this is for the NCAA. This is why it doesn't make sense.
I was wondering where you were going.
Attendance for the 784 teams in 1982 was 1.9 million. That's for the NCAA. Because that makes sense. In 2020... There's far more teams now. There's 1,097 teams, and in attendance, over 11 million. So the NCAA for women's basketball has exploded. It's exploded. Yeah. So, you know, in terms of like popularity for women's basketball for amateurs, the numbers show it is hugely, hugely popular. It doesn't mean it's popular in terms of the bigger arena. And case in point, I can't even read the numbers without misunderstanding them. I can't even name like a team like the Indiana Fever without saying, well, I've never heard of that before, or some person who's a huge star and saying, well, I don't know who that is. The WNBA drew in 108 million fans in 1998, which was the second full season. The Iowa Hawkeye women had an average attendance of 11,000 at home games. According to the University of Iowa, the team had an average of 8,000 the prior season. So the point is that she's going from University of Iowa, where they're having 11,000 people in attendance at home games, and an industry that's worth 11 point however much, you know, million dollars. Attendance is over 11 million people a season. It's this huge industry, NCAA basketball. Now she's going pro. And she's entering a smaller arena as a professional than she was as an amateur. Yeah. That just shows you how poorly managed and how bad the WNBA is that people would prefer to watch the college rather than the pros. Because we'll take out of all these 1,000 NCAA teams, we'll take from them. Obviously, we draft the best players to go and improve the professional league. You take those the best of the best of the best out of the NCAA, and you can't cobble together a league that has grown hardly at all since their inception 26 years ago. Why are we even talking about this? It's not to talk about women's basketball, because no one wants to talk about that. The point is right now everyone's looking at this and saying we've got this person who's going to go out there and be the Patrick Mahomes of the Indiana Fever. She's this huge player that's drawing all this kind of attention. But she's not going to be making a lot of money. And they feel entitled to that. They feel like she's owed some multi-million dollar contract, even as a player who's just coming out of the draft, which I hate to tell you this, but it doesn't work that way.
Right.
When you get drafted, even in the NFL, you're getting rookie contracts when you get drafted. Even Patrick Mahomes, even Josh Allen were handed small deals as draft picks. And then they get a chance to prove themselves. And that's when they get handed the big deal.
Yeah. Joe Burrow. I mean, Joe Burrow structured a huge deal, but was making, I'm going to say in quotes, peanuts comparatively to other quarterbacks, but he was a new guy. But then when he was able to restructure, or re-sign or, have the ability to go out and look, he made a huge, gargantuan fucking contract. But you have players, you have other professional sports players coming to the rescue of the WNBA saying, these women need to make more. And, right before the show, John, you were talking about marketability and all that. That's where the money comes from, like you said. But you have these other guys, these other professionals in other leagues, other sports, championing the WNBA. Well, they need to make more. How? Where's it come from?
I once was watching CNN breaking this down, and they were talking about how basically men hold the WNBA down, and saying that if only we could get companies, these men-owned companies, to invest in the WNBA and advertise with the WNBA, that we would get the WNBA going. We could juice some capital into them. And this person's a reporter. And I'm like, do you not understand how advertising works? Do you think that, like, when you go to commercial now and it's going to be like Liberty Medical or whoever's advertising on CNN, do you think they give you money to advertise because they believe in your product? No, it's because their demographic is there. The people that they sell their products to are watching your programs, and in large numbers. The bottom line is, the reason why the WNBA is not successful is because people don't like women's basketball. And the reason why Caitlin Clark, generational talent or not, is not set to be making Patrick Mahomes money at any point in her life, or LeBron James money at any point in her life, is not because she's a woman and women are less good as us. It's literally society's fault. It's because society doesn't want to watch this. It's market forces. It's not because of the patriarchy. It's not because of sexist attitudes. It's just, in a market where we're already watching men's basketball, we're already watching football, we're already watching baseball, and we're already watching collegiate women's basketball, there's no room left for professional women's basketball. The mere fact that league was started in 1998 shows you that, like, that it was started as an equality move, as an equity move. Why isn't there a professional women's basketball league? Women can play basketball and they can do it well. And if you like basketball, it's probably entertaining. But the bottom line is that society doesn't want it, and it's not up to big businesses to invest in this. It's up to people to watch it and generate it. Like, Keith, right now, you and I we're about to talk about the UFL, the XFL, USFL. We're not begging for bailouts and government money or endorsement deals. We know that it comes down to people watching the games, going to the games, and if the attendance and the viewership isn't there, is going to cease to exist. The fact that the WNBA has held on with this number of people going to their games in the last 26 years, pathetic turnout, shows you that they're a charity case. And it shows you that people invest in the WNBA because they want to look like they care about women's equality. And they basically write checks to subsidize the WNBA. I do not believe at all that the WNBA is popular. And you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong on this, Keith, but isn't the WNBA partially subsidized by the NBA itself?
I believe so. I'm not positive on that, but I do believe I heard that. So
the, the WNBA is just entirely, it's just a charity case. And it's just something to give women an opportunity to play. And for female athletes, a place to go. And yes, for people who love women's basketball, it gives them a place where they can watch pros play, but it's not generated by the end user. It's not taken in by the consumer and everything else. Well, we see it every week with a movie, Keith. If there's a bad movie, it flops and they never make a sequel. The WNBA has been a bad movie for 26 years, and it's basically been crowdfunded this entire time, Keith.
Man, when you say that 26 years, it was developed the year I graduated. Shit. Sorry, that puts it in perspective. Yeah. I got 2 points. A, what does it cost to open these arenas that they play in? What's the baseline price to open the arenas to have 780 people in the stands?
Oh my God.
When you're paying the electric bill, the people that are working it, which I mean, you probably have 3 people working.
Yeah.
But the other point, and this is just a small Kiefer take, is I have never, ever watched the women's NCAA tournament ever in my life until this year. And it was because Caitlin Clark broke the scoring record. And her and Angel Reese from LSU had this big dust up last year that was all over the sports news, where after LSU won, she's pointing like, I got a ring, whatever. So it was like you had two rivals who both got drafted, by the way, but you have two rivals and then going up against each other. That's the only reason that I watched it. I mean, it was exciting just because there was that backstory. But I mean, next year, what's the backstory? I don't know. But now you've got them going into this professional league and people complaining about how much they're making because it's so low. But yeah, I mean, I'm curious as what it costs to open that arena just for that night.
Well, you know, they're operating
losing. How much money is it losing?
Yeah, they're operating the red anyway, just having to make these leasing agreements and whatever else. And yeah, having people pay to work there. And it's just sad. And it's just sad that we have people going out there and defending the WNBA as this worthwhile thing when if it's worthwhile, it'll stand on its own. Anything that is worthwhile will stand on its own. It doesn't have to be propped up for 26, 27 years, you know?
Right.
It's a welfare case, but we can't make the statement that it's just people aren't interested in it. We have to inject politics into it and say that it's men keeping women down, which is ridiculous. It's the exact opposite. It's us literally paying through the nose so that they have that opportunity, and they don't. And at the end of the day, since it's not a money making enterprise, it literally is charity for women.
I mean, neither you or I claim to be basketball experts. I know I'm not. I do not watch the NBA. I hate the NBA. I like men's college basketball, but I typically don't get super invested in it until March Madness. And this year, I didn't even get that invested in it. The women's was more exciting. I don't get
why they broadcast the sounds of the sneakers.
Squeak, squeak.
Yeah, why are you doing that? You literally need a microphone to do that. Don't do that. It's annoying.
Don't do that. The NBA can disappear for all I care as well.
Yeah, it can all go away. Wanted to mention just before we call it quits, Battlehawks, Keith enjoying first place for the St. Louis team. John's team has 0 wins.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
Yeah. I may switch, I don't know. I do want to like show some loyalty to something. And if they don't have a good season, it's okay. You know, they're it's a different league than it was a couple years ago. And I don't know if they're actually the Houston Gamblers now. And they just have been rebranded. I know that they don't have Wade Phillips in the building, which he was our coach a couple of years ago in 2020. But I'm just enjoying the fact that the league exists. I haven't been able to watch too many games. It is a little bit hard to watch sometimes when it's on Fox Sports 1 or whatever.
Right.
Or like even on a rainy day in my basement, I can't get ABC down here, so I couldn't watch a game. I'm glad that it's out there, and I have watched a few games, and it's fun to watch spring football. So here's some post-game notes for you. Quarterback A.J. McCarron,
my man,
got his first rushing touchdown of the season in his second of his Battlehawks career with the 10-yard run in the first quarter. He was 19 for 27 with 152 passing yards and a touchdown pass to go with 21 rushing yards. You've got a wide receiver, Hakeem Butler, making his first touchdown pass, catching his first touchdown, 20-yard reception with 11 on the clock in the second quarter. He led the XFL in 2023 with 8 touchdown pass receptions. He finished the game with a game-high of 87 receiving yards and 6 catches, including a game-high of 33-yard receptions and 3rd and 17 on the final play of the third quarter. That's cool. Where did Hakeem Butler used to play?
I heard that name when I was reading that article, and it sounded familiar. I did not look it up, but it sounded familiar as hell.
I could look it up, you know, and then I could know.
Yeah, I can do it too.
Yeah. I like how we just both do it live online. Oh, he used to play for the Steelers.
I knew the name. I just couldn't place him.
Yeah. You were probably used to seeing him twice a year and then not remembering why. It's cool that he has a place to play, you know, that he can still go out there. And obviously he's doing it for the love of football because he's made some millions of dollars, and the money that he's making in the XFL is not huge, but you know, he gets to play football. He gets to go out there and do it. He maybe gets to have a season where he gets to show that he's still worthwhile. And when he's done doing this, hopefully he gets picked up by a team in the fall in the NFL. So that's kind of what the XFL is for. It gives people a place to play. It gives you football to watch. But here's the thing, though, compared to the WNBA, ultimately, if the fans aren't out for it, it'll disappear. Spring football has come and go many, many times since the 60s. We've seen many other leagues go. The USFL come and go in the 80s. The XFL in 2001. The XFL in 2020 went away because COVID shut everything down. They played last year. The USFL played last year. But spring football has not existed as consistently as the WNBA. And the reason for that is that they don't get charity payouts. Because if the spring football interest isn't there, it ceases to exist. And then they have to try to cobble together investors to start up a league again. And those investors lose lots of money and the league disappears. And when they see that there's value there, but they try to capture that value rather than demand that the NFL pay them a part of it.
Very good point.
That's the end of the show. Thanks for watching. Illegal Shift, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Kind of a downbeat show, but like I said, how do you top O.J. Simpson dying last week? Kiefer, when can they catch you on your next episode of One More and I'm Out of Here?
Our next episode will be live at 2 o'clock Eastern on Saturday, 4:20. And I put in our last description, it was completely by coincidence. Dan will not be smoking weed on camera.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. I have to work this Saturday, which is a huge load of shit.
That is a load of shit.
Yeah, I don't normally work on Saturdays. I guess I'm lucky to not have to do that. Tomorrow, we got a big case breakdown. We're going to take the weekend off. We'll be back here on Monday for comedy. On Tuesday, we've got True Crime again with me and Kendra, my lovely ex-wife. Wednesday is all the news you need without feeling depressed. Although, like, Eric's got his work cut out for him lately. We'll see you back here next week for another Illegal Shift. And, Keith, always great. Catch up with you soon.
Absolutely.
I love you, man. I love you. I love you, buddy.
I love you, buddy. You take care of yourself.
I love you.
Anyway, we love the Wolf Pack.
Love the Wolf Pack. Thanks for watching the show, guys. Guns up, giddy up. Good night, America. See you in Comm Center.